Blog Talk Radio.
Heavenly Father, once again, as we open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come with us, to open our hearts and minds, Father, to be receptive to this your word, so that we can gain in knowledge, gain in the strength of our faith, and walk closer unto the Lord Jesus Christ and with you, Father. And may we also, Father, rejoice, honor, and glory thy Holy Spirit that is with us, that gives us the power, the strength, and the knowledge that we receive. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study, and we ask this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We're going to be in John chapter 18. We're coming closer all the time now to the end. We'll see what the Lord has for us this evening and where he takes us to. All right. Here in verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place where Jesus oftentimes resorted hither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? All right, we're going to stop here for a minute, so kind of take a look at these four verses that we've just read. And we find that this Brook Cedron, it's a ravine on the east side of Jerusalem toward the Mount of Olives. And the garden actually is the Garden of Gethsemane, though John does not give its name, nor does he give an account of Jesus' prayer there, or of the disciples' sleepiness, which we did find that all in Matthew, as we came through Matthew 26 and 36, we know that Jesus went the first time and prayed, came out, found the disciples he took with him asleep. He went all back in, prayed again, came out, and he was still asleep. He goes back the third time. He prayed the third time. And the third time, when he comes out, they asleep, but they wake, and he tells them to go ahead and sleep on. Now, he brings us up to the point, though, of where Jesus prayed there, but he doesn't go any further with it there. And Judas brought the band of men and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, and he brought them with lanterns and torches because it was night. And the weapons, they hunted the light of the world with flickering lanterns and torches. Bands of men is a Roman cohort, 300 to 600 Roman soldiers. John's account of the betrayal and arrest does not mention Judas's kiss. It does, however, supply many other interesting details not given in the Gospels. Jesus knew the future, and he knew they saw him. He knew all of this. All right, now, as we go on here, in 5, they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed them, stood with them. Now we do know that in Matthew and Mark, both let us know that he let them know who the right one was, because he betrayed him with a kiss. Now, John doesn't mention that, but he does mention the betrayal by Judas. 6. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backwards and fell to the ground. 7. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. He's asking for them to leave the others alone. 9. And he said that the sayings might be fulfilled which he spake of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. We know he never lost but the one, and that was the one that betrayed him, and that's exactly why he was handpicked to be a disciple. Because you see, the Lord Jesus knows it all. He knows every thought that you and I even think. Still to this day, we don't hide nothing from him. Not a thing. A lot of people think they can, but they can't. And they'll find that out. But when they find it out, it's going to be too late. And they'll be making their way to hell as their home. And then them in hell eventually is going to wind up in that lake of fire. Now, 9, the sayings might, he told them, let these go their way. And then we go into verse 9. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them which thou gavest me, I have lost none. 10. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Now, John is the only one that really tells us which ear Peter cut off. And he's the only one that named the disciple that cut the ear off. And he did so right here in chapter 10, verse 10. Now, verse 11. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? You know, when we look at 10 and 11 verse, only John gives us the name of disciples who cut off the servant's ear, which it was Peter. And Peter and John were often together. And only John gives us the servant's name, Malchus. Yet he does not record the healing of Malchus here. He doesn't tell us that Jesus healed that ear again. Now, then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas. First, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. And now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. You see, they're always looking out for things. And there's 3 stages of this Jewish trial that he was to be taken to. And one is actually a preliminary arraignment before Annas, given only by John here. And 2, an informal trial before Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin before dawn. And reportedly fully in Matthew, which was 26, verses 57 through 68, and Mark chapter 14, verses 53 through 65. And the 3rd stage is a formal trial by the Sanhedrin after dawn, fully in Luke 22, 66 to 71, and briefly mentioned in Matthew chapter 27, verse 1, and Mark chapter 15, verse 11. Now, you see, they go through a lot of things. And Jesus is going through all of these things, and all three of these different stages of the so-called trial that he was getting, that really he should never have gotten. But we have known that all through the Gospels, and all through his 3.5 years of ministry, they have been wanting to kill him, to find some way to completely get rid of him. Now here in 15, and Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. Now this other disciple that he's talking about here, they don't give a name, none of them gives a name for that disciple. But we know that it was probably John, because John was, he followed him and went almost everywhere he went, and he was always right next to his side. Now, we know even at the Last Supper, he was sitting by Jesus with his head resting on the Lord Jesus. But as far as saying for certain that it was, we can't. Now, 16. Peter stood at the door without, then went out that other disciple. Just the other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Now they brought in Peter. Now we know that Jesus has told Peter that he'll deny him 3 times before the cock crows. Here in 17, then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? And he saith, I am not. That's his first denial. 18, and the servants and officials stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whether the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. You see, he's really not giving any plea for himself at all. Now, 22. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, answerest thou the high priest so? Now he's struck him, and he's asking, struck him and asked him, and told him he was not supposed to answer the high priest so. 23, Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me? 24, now Ananias and Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore to him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. That's the second denial. 26. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crowed. Now think about that. Jesus had told him what he was going to do. And he had done it all. And he got the third one in just before the cock crew. Now, 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled. They might eat the Passover. Now, this Roman trial, although certainly unjust, was probably technically legal, since Christ was not a Roman citizen with legal rights. But it was really something that should never have happened because he was being brought there on false accusations because of jealousy, really. Now, Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. And this defile was because they will not enter the house of a Gentile, and thus called ceremonial defilement, but they are willing to commit murder. You see, they're willing to kill the Lord Jesus just out of jealousy, yet they won't go into the house of a Gentile because to them, that would defile everything. When Pilate asked for the accusation, they admit there is none deserving of death by Roman law. And Pilate realizes that Jesus has been delivered to him on account of their jealousy. That's the only reason that he had been taken there. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring you against this man? And they answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. 31. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. And the Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. You see, they wouldn't try him. For one, they knew the accusations was actually lies. But two, they were not allowed to put anyone to death, and death is what they really was wanting for Jesus, And that's why they took him to the Romans, because the Romans could do that. Now, 32. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. You see, this is why he's not defending himself. Because he knows he is to be given his life for you and for myself, for us all. The sins of the world, all of the sins of the world to be upon him, and sickness and disease. That's why we are healed by his stripes. That beating they gave him with that cat of nine tails that put all those stripes on him till you couldn't hardly recognize even who he was. He took without murmuring. And that is what has brought you and I the healing even unto this day. 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Are you saying it of by yourself, or is others telling you this of me? And Pilate answered, I am a Jew. Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? He's letting him know, I'm not a Jew. He says, am I a Jew? They brought you to me. And he's wanting to know what he has done. 36. Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. He's not telling where his kingdom's from, but he's just telling him it's not from this world. Now, Pilate. Here in 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Everyone that heareth the truth heareth his voice. You see, as we have been studying through the Bible, the Old Testament, the four Gospels, part of the New Testament, and the book of Revelation, we know that the truth of God's word is exactly what we all need. And we are finding ourselves in a bad situation today because we are not finding much of the truth of God's word in our churches. And that is a shame. And we all need to be praying that our churches will repent and will turn back to the Word of God and preach it in its entirety so that the truth is there instead of preaching these things that are contrary to the Word of God. And we'd find our nation in a lot better situation and shape than it's in right now. And if we don't do something and do it quickly, we are going to lose our country. They are standing today, this land that we live in, is against Almighty God. It's against the Lord Jesus Christ. It's against the church. And it's against his people. You and I that claim to be Christians. And it's going to get worse for us. That day's coming. But we don't have to let it in yet. It can be stopped. But we have got to take the evil out of our government and out of our churches and replace that evil with righteousness and the goodness of Almighty God. Now, we're going to 38. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. But he knows that they brought him on account of jealousy. He's not speaking against Caesar or their government or nothing. 39. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. And he was also a murderer. Barabbas was. Barabbas was not a good man up to this point or this time. Now, we have to the end of chapter 18. Now, 19 is a long chapter. So, for us to get through that, we wouldn't have time before we'd be off the air, really. Now, we could get started in it, but we wouldn't get very far at all. So let's just stop here with our reading and our study of the Word, and we'll catch 19 in the morning at 10 o'clock Eastern Time. But I want all of you to know and to understand that the way things are today is not in keeping with the Word of God of mankind. And we have lost now of all of our churches has closed. And we have got so many more right here where I live, here in Kentucky, and the county that I'm living in, within a 15-minute drive. We have five churches that has already closed, and we have five more right now that is down below 10 members and just about ready to close. Think about this. Because they have gotten away from the word, and there has been so much evil creep in, and the word not being taught, and they are losing, growing weaker and smaller each and every day. There's two churches on this street where I live. One has been closed and bulldozed down. They've not took up all the rubbish and things from where they dozed it down. They took a bulldozer and dozed it over and dozed it down. The next one down right now, they have told me that they figure they will have to close by the first of the year. That's just here on one street. We have one more in this settlement where I live. And I went to visit that church. They even had a guest preacher in to try to help them to build. And the day I was there, they was 15 there, counting myself. That made 14 of them, well, actually 13 of the church members, because they had the visiting minister and myself there. They're about ready to close. And if these two churches close here in this town, there's no more left here in this settlement at all. Think about it. This is the kind of shape our country is getting in. And it's all because mankind don't want to hear the word of God. They want to go out here and go to these churches that gives pretty speeches and leads people to believe they can go on with the sin they've always done and just keep doing the same old thing, asking God for forgiveness. He'll forgive them, and they can go back and do it all over again and again. But you see, that is against the word of Almighty God. In fact, it's against his word in several different places, even. And I have read them and talked to you about those places before. You know, just like the only way you can get into heaven is to be born again. You got these churches out here telling you, well, you know, just say, well, go to the altar, pray a little bit and say, well, I've accepted Jesus, so I've got it all. I've got the Holy Spirit and all. No, you haven't. You've been taught wrong. And then you've got them. You can go in and be sincere and repent and ask Jesus to forgive. And Jesus does if you ask him in sincerity. Then they'll take you. They explain nothing about baptism, but they baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. All they done was took you in into that water, a dry center, and brought you out of wet. Because you see, That's the way John baptized, and in his day and time, that was the right way, because you was being baptized for repentance. Now, that's not why you're baptized. Today, you go to Jesus to be forgiven. He forgives you. Then you are baptized in his name because you are putting him on. You're being buried with him. You're taking on his death and being buried with him and raised up out of that water in his resurrection. And the scripture tells you, you're to walk in newness of life. You still are not complete yet, because you've got to reach the point to where you can be. You've got enough knowledge and all to know what and how to handle it. And then you are filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And once that happens, you have been reborn. And as 1 John chapter 3 tells you, that when you are reborn in God, you don't commit sin. It says you can't sin because you're born of God. So all that keeps messing around out here with these churches that are teaching contrary to God's word, if you don't get your life straightened out, you're going to miss heaven. I'm telling you what the word tells us. You see, that's why he tells us to speak boldly. We don't walk around any subject. We don't walk around anyone. We give them all the truth, and we do so in love. It's because I love you. I don't want to see you miss making heaven your home. I want to see you make it. That's why I walk as I walk. That's why I spend my time and teaching God's word. I don't do it for money. I'm not paid to preach the word of God. The money that comes in here, we use to help others. And right now, we are giving to help Israel. They are in a lot of trouble, being invaded, shelled every day. Their families are being killed. They're killing even the babies. And they are needing our help. So we are sending them some financial help, which I had brought before all of you that comes in with me. I brought that to all of you, and you was in agreement with it. Now, you see, those that are the children of God, we are to be busy working, talking with others, trying to get them in. Now, right now we don't have a church building. I work out of my home. But those that can come and be here with me, they're welcome. They know that. They're welcome to come into my home for these studies. But then we are on Love Talk. We're also on YouTube. and we are speaking to people all around the world. And we need to be working locally and with all that we come into. Talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Invite them to join in with our study. Most everyone has a cell phone. And most that has a cell phone, they have unlimited minutes and nationwide. So it don't cost them anything to call in and come in to join us for these studies. Now there, for a long time, all of you know, I was preaching these sermons. But the Lord said, no, take them through the Bible, because we don't have much more time. And we have learned a lot of things. Those that have really spent time with me in this study, you can talk to them and they'll tell you. They've learned a lot of things. Not because I'm smart, no. Because they waited on me and myself to teach them, they'd be in a lot of trouble. It's the Holy Spirit that gives them the truth and the power and the authority of the Word of God. Lets them learn and grow stronger in the Word, grow stronger in faith, grow stronger with the Lord, and grow stronger with the Father and the Holy Spirit, in order to make heaven their home. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you, Father, for this word. We thank you for the time that we can come together to share your word, Father, with each other and with others out there in the world. And we thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit that gives us guidance, gives us understanding, gives us knowledge, and gives us the power to walk and to do the things you will call upon us to do. Now, Father, we pray for Israel. We pray for peace to them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. And Father, this land of ours that is filled with evil, because we have those that are of evil sitting in offices in our government that has brought so much evil upon mankind in our land. Father, we pray for them to be removed from office and replaced with those that belong to you and that will work with us, Father, to bring this land to repentance and put our nation back upon and our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, to those that are a part of this ministry that has joined with me, now, Father, I lift them up in prayer. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Amy's husband Tom, Amy's son Jacob, Bobby and Millie Johnson, myself. And Father, I ask that they all be kept in health, keep them safe, and bring them back together again come morning at 10 a.m. and back into your word. Now, Father, watch over us all and keep us all in the hollow of your hand. This is my prayer this evening, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a good evening and a great night. Good night, all.